far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode,
Happy Halloween, where we get to review
Devilman Crybaby.
See the meme that I found in Cloud's pastebin with all the anime pictures on the bomber.
Well, I just tweeted that the mega anime girl on the guy's van.
Uh huh.
With the quote, "It's your Uber. I'm outside." Oh, that's so perfect.
It's got like that cat girl from the anime right wing website or whatever it's called.
Yeah, this is some kind of like some stuff I would see at like the Daikomura vehicles at AWA or something, where the people have like the anime girls on their car. I think this guy could just someone. I have a feeling is going to cosplay their like rape slash pedo slash painter's van to have all these stickers on the side and then just register it. And I'm like, I don't know if they'll accept it. It's a it's a Chevy. Windstar, that's not Japanese. Because so. I think the ruling on Daikomura cars is that there has to be a Japanese. And I mean, unless they spend all this money importing like an SUV or a van from Japan or something, I don't know. But the Chevy rape van or the Ford is just fantastic. So.
I saw yesterday someone said like this van is what Steve Bannon would turn into if he was a Transformer. The one with all the Trump stuff all over.
Yeah, I got
10,000 stickers.
Yeah. Well, people who don't know, I already saved the image, so it'll be on show notes to what we're talking about.
We're recording this the weekend after they caught the incompetent Trump bomber person.
That's definitely closing remarks territory right there. So
and we're going to talk about Devilman here. This is like our Halloween episode.
Happy Halloween, because I'm assuring this comes out on Halloween Day, if not maybe the day after. But let's take the risk and say it's going to come out on the 31st, like it's supposed to. So,
yeah. It probably won't need too much editing.
All right. So, welcome to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. I am one of your hosts, Dustin, and with me is my co-host, John.
Yes.
And we are here to wish you a happy Halloween by talking more about Devilman, specifically Devilman Crybaby. That, honestly, I have to say, after watching this, it's probably the best Devilman that's come out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They got like very high quality animation. Like Yuasa, he's probably one of the biggest stars of anime directors at the moment. So
yeah, he is right now. So this was interesting because I don't have a Netflix account and you do, so you got to see it dubbed and I got to see it subbed. I think the only kind of like similarities between the two is that. So, like, when they had somebody, like, speaking English, did you notice it was kind of Englishy depending on the scene?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
In this last episode, there was, like, I guess there's supposed to be like people from the UK or something that were like shouting off and in this big battle. Well, and
Did you notice Rio's like voice would change, like if he was on an interview or something? Maybe they overdubbed that. I don't know, because like in the sub version, like the stadium scene, like he's talking on the newscast, and it's him speaking in English, but it's English.
That was they used the normal voice actor for that then.
Okay.
The English one.
Okay. Yeah,
because it sounded the same.
Okay. I guess I felt like it was just cheaper to just like leave whatever English bits are in the original Japanese track and instead of just overdubbing it.
Yeah, for the minor characters, like they, I guess, figured like, oh, well, this will show that it's like in a different country because it'll sound different or something, maybe.
Yeah. Because
that was kind of the intention probably in the Japanese version, right? To show like this is a global problem, not just in Japan, the Devilman and all that.
So wait, did you notice any voice actors like offhand when they were speaking? Like, did anybody stick out to you?
I was posting something about that the other day. Miki is Christina V. Mm-hmm. She's Lofter in Iron Blooded Orphans. And what's her name from that CGI French cartoon? Cat Noir and whatever
you call it. She's Miraculous, that's it. She's the main girl in that.
Yeah. I think that there were some in some minor roles they had like Bryce Papenbrook, Kirito and Aaron and John Young Bosch was in a minor role, but I didn't actually notice their voices. I just saw them listed on Anime News Network. I think they're probably just like background characters or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
guess maybe he couldn't bring the band with him to sing the theme song, so he's just like, you know what, this isn't even worth my time. I'm just gonna like half-ass this dub or whatever.
Yeah. And the main character was Griffith Burns, I think it was what his name was. But,
yeah, Griffin Burns is Akira. Kyle McCarley is Rio.
And then he's not in very many other shows. Like, I think he's Nate in the new season of Yo-Kai Watch. And that's, you know, other than that, he's got like a minor role in Hunter x Hunter. And, you know, like they got kind of an unknown character to do it, but I guess he did a good job.
Okay. And then he got,
I mean, they made him sound emotional and characters died and that sort of thing. So
yeah. And then he got, Shirmai Lei is, Mikiko or Miko.
Yeah. Don't call her that.
She wants to be Miki. Yeah. She wants to be the new version of Miki whenever she beats her in a race, which never happened. But then they kind of reconciled each other, in that second to last episode. So, but yeah.
They kept saying, I love you, and then Miki would say, I love you back. So probably there's like Yuri shippers or something that are like, oh, look, they love each other.
Well, there's nothing there to ship now because Miko's dead. So.
Right, they're both dead.
She blew her brains out, is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get into spoiler territory if people haven't seen this. But the thing was, like, okay, so
spoiler
this came out.
Everybody dies.
Yeah. God kills everybody in the end. We're done with this review. But no, like, so this show was like really, really hot. Everyone was reviewing it. Everyone was talking about it at the beginning of the year of 2018.
And, is that when it came out? We're behind.
Oh yeah. Well, I wanted to be behind because it was like, well, I want something to talk about for Halloween and we can just wait 10 months. And we did.
Right.
Cause I know Daff was like trying to push us to review it because like, oh, everyone else is reviewing it. And it's like, you know, maybe, yeah, that would honestly help our numbers maybe, but. You know, at the same time, it's kind of like, this is just a hot thing people like, and as soon as it's over and done with, no one's been really talking about it since, like, the spring. You know, you figured, like, you know, if anime was this, like, popular, like, you figured you'd see a lot of cosplayers about it, and I haven't seen a whole lot of Devilman cosplayers, off to memory. I mean, I've been to, like, you know, major conventions, like Anime's been at AWA, and I don't remember seeing a Devilman there.
I've never seen one.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, if this was so popular, because like, usually people want to jump on it. Even like, you know, fan art people want to draw like fan art for Devilman. There was a few at AWA, but it wasn't a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But it's the typical like, you know, hot anime girls and guys and shipping images or whatever, because that's usually what sells money. But, you know, here we are 10 months later after it came on Netflix and everyone talked about it, and we're now talking about it because I wanted to talk about it because we have something for Halloween. But from what I understand, this, I think, adapts the Devilman manga story pretty well, but, I mean, like, it's kind of taking some liberties of what Yuasa did to it.
Obviously, they modernized it heavily with adding cell phones and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But a lot of this, like, I saw a lot of similarities between the original OVAs and then the Almon Devilman of Apocalypse. Yeah, because that one, I don't think I don't even remember if he fought Satan or Ryo in that one. I remember Ryo revealing himself as Satan and Almon, but I don't think there was a battle at all. But this one feels like a really complete story. And that's why I say, like, you know, like, if you're going to watch something Devilman, this is the best thing out there so far. This might be the only best thing out there. I mean, I love the original OVAs, and those are available by Discotech Media. We can go ahead and throw in our obligatory Right Stuff promo. So, like, if you want Devilman stuff, go to rightstuffanime.com and buy from them, or you can buy from Discotech site. But either way, get yourself some Devilman if you want it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they're ever going to release Amon. They probably will. Maybe. That would be the next thing they do, because they've got the TV series and the original OVAs. So it would make sense for Discotech to cut a deal to get this out on physical media and the Almon series, so then you pretty much got everything. And I don't think anybody's is going to touch that live-action Devilman movie.
Well, the live-action Devilman movie was on Right Stuff on sale the other day, but it's like an old DVD, I think. And it was
I think
wants it.
Yeah, I think it's like really out of print.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that goes out of print, and then like 10 years later, it still hasn't gotten expensive because there's like no demand.
Yeah, because nobody wants it. Because we reviewed that movie and it sucked, as I knew it would.
You bought it and you like sat on it for 10 years, then you're like, all right, let's
do this. Yeah, I bought it. I think I bought like a bootleg version of it from some shady Indian guy at a ghetto mall in Atlanta. So that ought to tell you something. So we're just kind of covering through this, but basically. This takes liberties in terms of, like, how they kind of progress the story differently from the OVA. Like, for this one, Ryo is, like, this professor, and he drives, like, a hot-ass Lamborghini or whatever. And whenever he's in it, they play the same techno song all the time, which is really awesome. But, like, he comes and gets Ryo from, like, a dock, and then he, like, you know, machine gun Kelly's, like, the whole dock from those the ghetto rapper Japanese guys. Which they want to be in some really cool characters.
Yeah, that's funny. I just watched Machine Gun Kelly just a few days ago, the Roger Corman film.
Oh, nice.
Have you seen that?
No, I have not. I have not seen that.
Yeah. Somehow he's able to get a machine gun in Japan. And
yeah. Well, it's fun. It's interesting how like they have this ban on weapons, but then as soon as the world ends, every Japanese person has a gun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like it's like they're. I think they've been hiding it, you know, until like the world literally has to like go to hell in order for them to, you know, basically like, oh, we can finally use these things and not get in trouble. I guess we can go episode by episode in a way. But yeah, so Ryo and Miki. And Miko are all on the same track team. And Miki's like the star, like, track runner or whatever. And so then it goes into where Ryo sees Akira, gets him, and they go to this rave. And he starts explaining, you know, Ryo starts explaining to Akira about how, like, what's been going on with him. And how devils are coming into this world. And how his old, like, professor boss in the jungle set himself on fire because he had a devil in him or something. I think it was, like, in the OVA, it was his father, but this one, it seemed like it was... I don't know if it was his father or not. I think it might have been, like, a professor or something.
Yeah. Some crazy-looking guy who looks like a zombie out in the woods, and he's, like...
yeah.
You know, he just, like, started eating a bird or something, and then he realized he was, like, becoming a devil. So then that's how he found out about devils, and then he decides to take Ryo to the...
Yeah, the big satanic rave, and like, what was it like? It seemed like it was in a church, but then the doors reminded me if it was like an opening to like a subway cart or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they redid the party scene where this time it's techno music instead of, anthems, heavy metal music. And.
And it's like 100 times more lewd than like the OVA.
Yes, there's like literally people, like there's two girls like getting it on with each other. There's literally like dudes plowing chicks and grabbing tits everywhere. Like, what was interesting to me is the liberty that, Yuasa did with, a breast demon girl, because like in the original, like, you know, it was like her breast became mouths, but it just looked painful. But then this one is just way too cartoony in terms of them like stretching everywhere and then turning into mouths and then eating people. So like it kind of it amps like, up the scale on that.
It's like I don't know, like Ren and Stimpy or something, where it's like so ridiculously like lewd, but also ridiculously cartoonish, like the adult cartoon party season.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're not really gonna get like disgusted watching it or anything, you know. But
it's way too cartoon. It's like, it's not really graphic. It's not very detailed on like, you know, the guts or whatever, like the original OVA. But it's entertaining, but it's also very gruesome at the same time.
Yes. That's like the way this series is in general, right? Like it's more, I guess, more violent than the other kinds, but also like with the style, it's. You can't really fully, like, take it seriously enough to be, like, grossed out by it or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, I will say the formula for this Devilman is three things. It's sex, violence, and rappers.
Yes.
Yeah, so those are the three that make up the entity of what you see in about every episode of Devilman Crybaby.
That's probably why it's popular in America, whereas other Devilman stuff was not, because those are three things that sell to, you know, like...
teenagers.
What Americans are today.
Yeah. Yeah. Teenagers especially, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was just like the party scene was just like, it was just funny and like how people were killing each other off. Like there was the one dude just plowing a girl and then her legs, like she turns into the spider chick from Wicked City and cuts him in half. And it's just like, it's way too ridiculous. It's comedic in a way, but it's just so, it's so messed up.
Yeah.
Just looking at notes here. Yeah, so then basically, like, so Kira becomes Almon in this rave, and so by episode 2 happens, he's just, like, a totally different person. Like, he's in school, and he has, like, porn blaring in the AV room, and it's, like, on the biggest screen possible, the volume turned up, and people are like, dude, you're gonna get expelled!
But no one cares.
Yeah, no one cares. And, no, what was it? It was like, these two girls are trying to get a door open and they wind up like dry humping in the halls or something. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I deal with this shit like in the freaking middle schools I deal with like some of the ghetto students. I'm like, I guess kids are kids.
I'm like, oh, you have a nice ass. And then she starts like humping it and then.
The middle of the hallway. Like these kids have no shame because they're just, you know, little bastards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. Yeah, so in the second episode, yeah, well, he gets, like, this big-ass erection in, like, his shorts or whatever, and all the girls are, like, ooing over him and how much he can eat. And then there's Miko's friend, like, the thing with sex is it's also used, I think, as a interesting plot point, and I guess, in a way, character development, because it's used so often. so, like, you know, Miko is... You know, gets into a thing where I guess she masturbates often, and like she gets turned on because like the ghetto neighbor or not ghetto neighbor, the one of the rapper guys that was really nice to her was just like, hey, I keep hearing like this retarded dog squealing, and there's a flashback to her like getting herself off, and she's just like, what dog? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think Kimista realized it was her and was like, I don't know, taunting her or something to try to make her interested in him or something.
It's like, hey, you don't have to touch yourself anymore. I can take care of that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so then Akira lives with these. So a little bit on Akira's backstory is that he lives with these foster family of Miko, and they seem to be like Christian.
Miki.
Miki.
Not Miko.
Oh, no, I'm looking right at the notes, and it does say Miki, because I'm stupid.
Yeah. We were just talking about Miko, but it gets confusing because the names are so similar.
Yeah, really. No, but they're like Christian missionaries or something. At least the father is, I think, because he's... So then he's like, he has a family, and, you know, they're all, you know, reading out of the Bible and kind of making all this, all sense of, like, what's happening at the end of the world or whatever.
He's supposed to be some sort of foreigner because they're, like, taunting Miki for being half Japanese.
Yeah, she looked, you know, Japanese enough, I guess. I guess because her hair wasn't dark enough or something. I don't know.
She looked Japanese to me. But...
Yeah. So she's a hafu.
Right.
There's also the fact that it was, I'm just trying to think of some little things about the show, like about like the fact that, you know, her, Miki's little brother, like dresses the cat up as Devil Man Cat. And like puts a costume on it, and the cat's completely chill with that. But then later the cat gets killed and then becomes a Devil Man itself and starts helping Devil Man out, but like for only 5 minutes.
Yeah, the cat of the Devil Man.
Yeah, it was just interesting, like that second last episode, the cat gets killed by a grandma. And then, like, the knife comes out of it, and it just turns into a demon. I'm like, what? I didn't know, like, the animals could be turned into demons, but then they wind up possessing the cat in some way. I don't know. Maybe there's a cat devil man that was like, I found my partner.
Yeah, that's going to be the next Gonagai manga, Devil Man Pussy.
Yeah. Devil Man Cat Pussy.
A pussy and a pussy. Makes sense. The book got him at. People don't want to know the context of that.
Yeah, we've talked about Gatomat in the past, but I don't want to bring it up. But there's also the fact that Miki's part of some sort of photographer. Like, she does, like, some sort of modeling on the side, too. So then there's, like, a plot for the third episode where she's basically going to... She gets caught in the rain to go see this the photographer guy. And I don't think he's a demon. I don't remember. But the thing was, like,
there's like these demons there that like are like in the water and stuff. I don't know if he like invited them or something.
No, he gets taken over by like an aqua demon or something. That's it, because he's in his car, because episode 2 was the fact that there's some sort of like group of demons that are attacking humans for fun or whatever. And this guy gets it on camera with Devilman attacking them, but then also involved with this like group that's attacking humans is Celine, which is the hair winged like big breasted chick and the second OVA. So she's in this, but she's like, I guess she's in charge of that group or something. But then like, so this camera guy gets a video of this, of a Devilman attacking these demons, and he's trying to sell it off to his boss, and his boss is like, oh, no one's gonna buy this. And so then they go into this whole thing where like he gets possessed by the liquid demon, and then Miki comes there and she's taking a bath. But they also he's such a shady guy because he's got like one of those see through like walls. So then like there's another guy that shows up and starts photographing her in the bathroom.
He works at some like some sort of pornographic company, and they take like pictures of teenage girls. So that this was like some trick to get pictures of her and. Then in the bath water, there's like some demon that possesses her.
Yeah, I think
Rio has to, you know, deal with that.
Yeah, that's right, because she gets possessed, and then they have that battle on the roof or something, and then he winds up like kissing Miki, but then that's just a way to suck out the water demon, and then he just fries it in his body or something. To how to fight it. But that's pretty much
the demon just like made her horny.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Because that's what happens in this show.
No, so there was that same episode as when they like Rio goes to see like they try to get the evidence from the camera guy's place, and he like the guy lives with his grandma or something. And then in a way for Rio to hide all the evidence, like he winds up blowing up her house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about Rio a little bit. So, like, he's basically, like, an utter dick the entire series. But then he realized in the end he's been Satan the whole time, which explains a whole lot about his personality and why he doesn't care about the human race or whatever.
They have him acting like, you know, the first scene is like him killing some cat, and they have all these different scenes of him, like, he's always like pulling out a knife or a gun or something, and you kind of wonder, like, well, why did this other guy hang out with him for so long? but he did.
I mean, red flags were showing up in their childhood, like in the last episode when they're like, Akira has to stop Ryo from killing every living thing. Like, they're in, like, you know, the bathhouse, and these two, like, wild hogs show up. And Ryo instinctively gets out his switchblade knife and is going to and cut them up. And then Akira has to hold him back. He's like, no, don't do that. It's just like, Akira, like, there's better people out there to be friends with. But I think at the same time, because if Ryo didn't have that, he had to have somebody that was, like, you know, not as shitty as he is, and to be that empathetic to, like, sort of make Ryo go through life okay, kind of, until all this happens. Because in the end, Ryo realizes how important Akira was to his life, and then he whines over him as God destroys the Earth. So, I guess it's kind of like, you know, showing, like, the impact of love even through people that are demons or even Satan himself, so, which is interesting. I'm just kind of looking. Yeah, I'm just looking through my notes in the episodes. Yeah, so episode 4 is the fact that Akira is trying to get his parents are coming in because they haven't seen him in years because they're out traveling and being doctors or whatever, and he lives with the Mikimuras. And Akira's dad, winds up being possessed by a demon, which winds up to be the turtle demon. And the turtle demon's from the second OVA where it has all the faces on its back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of interesting in how they, like, brought in the turtle demon. Because I remember in the second OVA, like, Akira just goes to fight a turtle demon. But his mom's face is on there. And it's like, well, how would the demon know that? But this one explains it because the demon sucks up everybody on that bus and puts their faces on his body. So then, like, it's all the people, like, crying out in pain or whatever as Akira's trying to fight him. But then also, this is the same episode where the rapper guy is you know, hitting up with Mika, and then he takes her to the demon rave or whatever, and then eventually, at that point, she changes, and it has, like, because you can tell people are demons in this when they have, like, dark eyeliner under their eyes.
Mm-hmm. That's what they did with that kid, too.
Yeah, so it was, like, Toro or something, I think is the kid's name. Like, it was just, he randomly had Toro. Like, he randomly had dark eyeliner on his eyes, and I was just like, wait, what the heck happened? Because it was the point
of
his
demon eyes.
Yeah, that's his demon eyes. I thought he just wanted to be goth at 8 years old.
No.
But then I noticed, like, his eyes kind of changed, and I was like, something's a little off about him, and then you find out he's a demon, but we'll get to that in a second. But no, like, I think episode 5 is probably the most sexual or whatever, because it's leading up to Akira. It's Celine, like, basically banging each other, and, like, the beginning of the episode was interesting because, like, Akira, like, wants to hit that on Miki, and, like, he's using his Devilman X-ray powers to, like, look under her shirt and see her nipples and, like, pubic hair or whatever.
Yeah, I was surprised they could show that because I thought it was, like, illegal to show pubic hair in Japan.
I guess, like, it's not too detailed, so maybe but then again, like, I think this is, I don't know, maybe it's censored for Japan and then everyone else you can see her pubic hair.
Yeah, or they might have just lifted some of the regulations on that since the olden days of anime, I don't know. But yeah, they did show that, and she was, like, on the phone with that photographer again, I think, and he was like, you shouldn't be fooled by him, and he's just trying to exploit your innocence, and she's, oh, what's wrong with being innocent? Because she's, you know, she's like what keeps him sane and normal after he becomes Devilman, because she's so wholesome and everything. And
yeah,
which makes it all the more tragic when she ends up dying.
Yes. Yeah, we're spoiling everything about this OVA, but I think everybody by then has seen this. So, but no, I guess I think the best part of this episode is the fact that Akira has, like, basically a wet dream just plowing Miki, and then he wakes up and there's, like, this gigantic cum shot on his ceiling, Mm-hmm. And that just instantly reminded me of the scene from Scary Movie where, like, this skinny dude, this, like, ghetto rapper dude, like, voluntarily, like, erupts cum on Anna Faris, and she, like, it's just enough to propel her off his dick and gets stuck to the ceiling. And that's just kind of, like, there's a one-to-one comparison between this anime and that scene from Scary Movie. That just instantly reminded me of that. And that's why, like, I don't know if you saw the clip when I posted in the chat, but I did.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Yeah, I've only seen bits and pieces of that movie. I've never sat through and watched the whole thing. I don't think I can. It's too stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
Yeah, they'll definitely be using that
now or something.
Do what?
They made like 5 of them now. You know, it like launched a whole genre of not just scary movie sequels, but you know, all these different stupid genre parodies. You know,
gosh, I.
Epic movie and that kind of thing. You know?
Yeah, it's a quick cash grab for them. Like I remember, like Scary Movie 2 was like them. I think it was making fun of Clue or something. They're in a haunted mansion. 3. I know how the beginning was because it had Pamela Anderson in it. She took her top off or shirt off. That was pretty hot. But that was like that was a parody off of Ju-on or The Ring. And then the 4th one was off of. I think it was. It was a spoof off the sci-fi movie that was War of the Worlds. That's it.
War of the Worlds.
But it had Charlie Sheen in it. Yeah. No, I've seen that on TV, but I think the parody on that one was like that, and then also like I think it was Signs or something, the Shyamalan movie where it was Mel Gibson, not like in the middle of farmland or whatever. I don't know, and I don't even know if I ever saw the 5th one. I just couldn't care less at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever was on TV on the weekends when I was a teenager, that's pretty much what I saw. So, I'm sure
those have aired a lot on TV.
At that time. I mean, now I don't even barely watch TV anymore. I mean, other than Toonami, that's about it.
Yeah.
I figure we talk more on scary movie series, but I think that's about as far as we can go.
Yeah, we don't need to say anything more on that.
Yeah. No, but anyway, so then like. Yeah, so there's this thing where, like, the cops are so incompetent in this episode where they're, like, trying to, you know, they're at, like, a clothing store, and then, like, you got this other runner guy that, like, gets possessed by a demon, but you don't really know it's him until, like, you know, the next episode. And he starts accusing these, like, the rapper guys of shoplifting, and the cops just instantly pull their guns on them. And they're like, dude, we just walked in here because this guy's being, like, you know, this jogger dude's being a jerk or whatever. And then Miki has to come in there and, like, basically, like, take care of the situation. She's kind of a Mary Sue in a way, but it's nowhere near as bad as Rey from Star Wars. Because everything seems to usually go her way until it doesn't go her way and near the end of the series. Because it was inevitable that was going to happen.
Yeah, everybody knows, like, that's how Devilman goes, you know, from... Yeah. I guess it's an Amon and, you know, the original manga I think there was a manga of Amon that I read as well that kind of like details how everything goes south when, you know, when things, after the TV thing, which causes everybody to go crazy, you know?
Yeah. And the TV thing happened, like the big announcement came when, in the next episode when they had the big race or whatever, and then jogger guy like goes ballistic or whatever. I might as well we're on that now, but yeah. So then like Ryo is like, I'm going to show the world like how, like all the demons and what's going on or whatever, and basically bring humanity to an end. And he starts like televising like the rave parties, like on the jumbo screens of the stadium. And like hacks the networks or something, so like it's so he can explain his plot or whatever to, like, you know, what's going to happen, and people start going crazy, and then you got like the runner guy that goes ballistic or whatever. But going back to the previous episode, like this is the episode with Celine and the Rhino guy, because eventually, like, you know, Ryo is like. Has these instincts, especially sexual instincts, and he's like, I gotta get it on with a woman. So then, like, Ryo gives him, like, you know, 20 grand to, like, all right, blow it on some prostitute or something. pun intended. And so then he winds up hooking up with Celine, and he's like getting it on with her, and then she turns into a demon. And then that even gets more ridiculous when they're fighting, and he starts messing her up. He's like, oh, you wanted to fuck me over? Well, I'm going to do that same thing. And then he just starts like basically banging her in the sky.
Yeah, ripping,
basically like riding her in the sky. And I'm just like, damn, dude. Yeah, but then like her and the Rhino guy like fuse together, and then they pretty much have Devilman beat. But then they wind up dying somehow, because it wasn't explained either, like, in the original OVA, where it was like, they're charging at him, and she's got this face of confidence, like, she's got Devilman 1, and then, like, they just die, but they, like, freeze in place or something. Because there's been, like, no explanation as to why, like, maybe their bodies didn't merge together right or something, I don't know.
Well, they say when she's fusing with him, she's like, are you sure you want to fuse me? Because I'm about to die, and my injuries are too great. And he's like, "Oh, let's do it and win." And, but then, like, it was too late for
that
them.
That kind of accelerates the process of them dying quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, basically through luck on that, like not Rio, but Akira gets out of that and lives to be in the next episode. But we kind of already talked about the next episode with the athletic race, like. You know, like, Akira's confronting this guy on, he's like, yeah, I know you're a demon. It's okay. But then the thing was, that episode starts out instantly with these two, like, him and this, and his boy toy friend start having gay sex or something. Like, right from the start of the episode, I was like, well, that should make the Yaoi shippers happy.
Uh-huh.
There's homosexual themes in this.
Daft was mentioning something about that. Let me pull up his messages. He was saying something like, this extremely popular show with the LGBTQ community.
I always like how you have to drag out that acronym every time you say it. it's the old Cool Kids Club days where you have like, hey, this is the Cool Kids Club podcast talking about the LGBTQ.
I know it makes them angry when you do that, because you remember Trump at the convention, he did this, and he like paused before Q, and they were like livid about this. They're like, he almost forgot the Q. How could he?
He didn't forget the Q. He didn't forget the Q. He was just talking about QAnon.
Right.
That Q.
It was just a secret message to the Q people. Yes. Okay, I found it. How many episodes are you going to cry, Baby? I said 6. He's right on. I enjoyed it a lot. My hot takes. Okay, here's Daft's review.
All right.
Soundtrack is fucking baller. I have not really enjoyed most of Pewasa's works, but I fucking enjoyed Devilman Crybaby. Devilman is kind of Babby's first Evangelion, contemporary Evangelion, in that it's a mindfuck. This show is really popular with Yaoi fangirls, but there is rape/implied rape in this, and no one got mad like Goblin Slayer. Like, if you search Etsy or DeviantArt, there is a lot of gay. I think that's generally true.
It wouldn't surprise me now. I mean, now that people have seen this, they have to, like, you know, do their shit or whatever, but I think, like, Baby's first Evangelion, like, Evangelion's way, way more toned down than this. I mean, I think even Evangelion is way more complicated than Devilman 2.
Perfect sense. It was controversial 25 years ago, or whenever Eva came out, 22 years ago. They had, like, one sex scene with Misato and Kaji, but it's like, they don't even show it, really. Like, you kind of just, like, hear it, and they, you know, like, show the side of the bed or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was on TV, and so they couldn't show it.
Right, but then now this is, like, now everybody has Netflix, including kids, you know? Like, there's no real restriction to, like, stop kids from just looking at whatever on Netflix.
Well, it's the parents that set up this account. It's like, do I want little Timmy to watch things that are for adults if I don't add the child block on it? Oh, well. But then again, like, you set up these accounts. I mean, what's going to stop kids from, like, not going to their account unless their parents have the password on it? I mean, they have the password for the account, but I think when you select, like, the users or whatever, there's no password on it. I don't think. I don't know.
Right. You just go on there, and, like, there's an option of, like, the people that you can add on the account.
Yeah, and it's an honesty system.
Or an option of clicking kids. but there's nothing to stop the kid from just clicking on the adult's account, you know?
Yeah.
So, and plus, a lot of kids will just watch anything that's, like, animated and they won't really care or whatever. Like, yeah. When I was a kid, a lot of kids watched South Park and Simpsons and all these other shows that were more aimed at adults that...
Yeah, I mean, really, like, the only way your parents could have, like, any kind of control on you is if they're there in the room with you with the TV remote telling you, like, this is what you're allowed to watch, do not get up and change the channel, because I have the remote. Whereas if the kid's by himself watching TV, he can turn it to anything, because, I mean, that's what I did. So,
yeah. And kids are just, like, alone in their room at night or whatever. You know, they can just watch it on their computer.
Yeah, their tablets, their phones, yeah, so there's... There's really no just restriction from kids stopping to watch, you know, this. Devilman or whatever. Yeah,
and the kids love Devilman. They're all coming up to him and hugging him, and
yeah,
he's like in the last episode.
They make Devilman like this, like, you know, unsung hero to the human population, and the kids are the ones that like have the heart, like Devilman's a good guy. And then eventually the adults get the idea because, you know, kids are the smarter ones than the adults in these shows, which is. I hate to say it, usually true.
Of course, Devilman, he flies off, leaves Miki alone with an angry mob outside, and stands around having a bunch of kids hug him. And then he's all shocked when he comes back. Hey, everybody's dead. What happened?
How did this happen? Well, if you took the time to assess the situation, you probably should have never left.
Yeah.
Wait, did he... No, he left, like, I think he left, and then immediately, like, what, 5-10 minutes later, there's a mob there? I don't think that's entirely his fault. Because if the mob was coming, and he saw it, then he would have stayed.
As he's flying out the window, they're all like, it's Devilman. They're all, like, standing right there.
That's a good point, yeah.
Trying to get him, like, immediately. Like, they're already there, and he doesn't go back in. It's like, oh, maybe I should protect her.
Yeah, maybe whatever I gotta do, I need to hold off on it and protect my woman, which is something he didn't do. I don't...
Yeah, and I don't even know why he had to leave. Like, he, like, was looking for other devils to fight or something. The whole world's filled with him.
Devilman's got Devilman hearing, like, super hearing, Devilman hearing. So, like, he kind of knows what's going on. I mean, he's got... You know, big ears. Like, he can hear all that crap. So, like, unless he's just like, oh, those, like, 4 ghetto rapper dudes have got my girl's back. I totally trust them. Look how that happened. 2 of them betrayed... No, what was it? Like, 1 or 2 of them betrayed each other? Like, you had the Eazy-E person, like, the short one that, like, wound up, like, stabbing his friends or something and joining the mob? Like, yeah, that didn't go over very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the guy showing up with the van is the one that betrayed the other dreadheaded guy. And he got literally stabbed in the front and in the back.
Heads on the sticks and stuff.
Yeah. Now, what was interesting in this anime is the fact that you also take liberties to have an English or an Japanese version of anime Trump being stunned that there are demons in this world. Because that was, like, one of the last clips of Episode 6 when, like, Ryu, like, televises what's going on. And all these leaders are, like, all stunned. So then you have, like, the obligatory Trump character with his mouth, like, aghast open going, oh, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. It seems to be devils. We're going to stop. We're going to have to build a wall. We'll have to go to Congress to keep the devils out. We'll have to build another wall from the top to protect us from God's nuclear weapon. It's going to work. Maybe. So I found that interesting. They have anime, they basically have anime Trump in this. So then it goes into, like, the world's going in chaos after the video plays. Like, you know, there's people that are just crazy that are just, like, you know, walking out in public, and so everyone just assumes everyone's a demon. Like, there was one dude that was, like, basically running into cars saying he's a demon, and people were just running him over and not even caring. And they just keep on driving, and they have, like, the police force out there that just, like, blast the dude in the face. And they have, like, all these, like, internment camps and, you know, like these halfway places around churches so people can, like, you know, it's the end of the world. It's like, oh, now I'm going to take this Christianity stuff seriously. I'm just looking at this. Yeah, so then humanity's kind of going to crap. And then there's a big, like, ball of light, which we find out later, is basically God's nuclear weapon or something. And then that gets into, like, the next episode where basically the mom finds out that Taro's a demon because he hates a dog. And then she's like, well, I gotta take him away from the family because I guess she doesn't know what's gonna happen next. And then, of course, the pastor guy tries to go out and search for his wife and goes to, like, the camp or whatever, and then finds out that he sees his son eating his mom, and he can't have it in himself to kill his son, so then he winds up getting shot himself by the military police because they probably think he's a demon. Yeah, it just gets worse and worse from here. Like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Trying to think of something else that I was... Oh, so the character Psycho Jenny shows up, but Psycho Jenny has been Rio's secretary the entire time, because it had, like, her human form, and, like, her face was, like, just really weird when she was driving Rio in an episode, and I was like, wait a sec, that face looks familiar. And I was like, I didn't want to assume it was Psycho Jenny yet until, like, the show made it apparent to me, but that it was the whole time. Because even Ryu said, like, oh, yeah, Psycho Jenny's been with me since I was a kid, so that would make sense why she had a human form with her. And why her face looked the same, her face looked the way it did. But then there's some...
Yeah, okay. It has those big, creepy-looking eyes and...
Yeah, sharp teeth for a smile that never goes away.
Yeah.
I just don't like what the point out, like, there's a lot of these, they use social media as a way to, like, move the story along, too. So then there's always, like, the subtitle version I saw, some of the fan servers took on the liberty to subtitle some of these texts. So we had some that was, like, whites made demons. And I wonder if that was a liberty that the subtitlers use, that they're just basically, like, liberal cucks or something. Or SJWs, I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that. They're all just weird, like, comments that they show up and... on the screen from time to time, and some of them are in English, and so a lot of them are not translated, at least on Netflix. Like, yeah. When Miki was streaming, you would see some that are in English, and then a whole bunch of Japanese text.
Yeah, some of these comments were like, Devil Man My Ass, Time for an Orgy, Pipe Dream. There wasn't anything about tits or GTFO. Maybe it's probably in there several times. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that would show up, but it didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I compared...
But it was going so fast.
Yeah, I mean, I compared the house raid to, like, you know, Assault on Precinct 13, which is a Roger Corman film. No, John Carpenter film, excuse me. Yeah, because there's just, like, this whole mob just starts, like, raiding the house because, like, freaking Ryo sells out Akira on national TV that he's a demon. So then everyone's like, oh, anybody that knows the Mikimuras know that Akira's with them, because I guess Akira's that popular of a guy now. And so they start raiding the house, which is, they just like to just keep coming and coming and coming. And then, of course, we get into the last, then we have to spoil that basically Miki dies, so does Miko. Because Miko turns into, like, a big spider, because that's her demon power, and she's like, hey, hop on, it's fun, and we'll try to run away. And then they wind up getting gunned down, and then Miki winds up getting, like, a freaking knife in her back as she's trying to run away. And then at that point, like, you know, this is, like, this won't end good for anybody. So, yes, and then, of course, Ryo reveals himself to be Satan in the last episode, which kind of was already making sense. And Satan, I guess, is like, they treat him as like a multi-winged tranny, because he's got tits and also a penis, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's the way he is, I think, in the manga too. I'm not sure what that's about. Maybe Gonagai is transphobic and he's trying to show that trans people are Satans. No, I don't know.
I wouldn't put it past that, yeah. It's a hidden message there. It's like, oh, he's so trans positive. He's got a character that's trans. And then he's just like thinking, these dumb mother effers. They only knew how much I didn't like them.
But there's been, secretly putting him in here is to be a negative trans person.
Yeah,
I don't think that people would notice that.
Well, I mean, like, Gona Guy's added, like, a lot of trans people, what we consider trans now, the term, in his anime. Like, you got Baron Ashura from Mazinger Z, which is, like, half man, half woman. At least in the face. I don't know about the rest of the body, though.
Yeah.
Because Baron Ashura always has that robe on.
Yeah. Yeah, there were jokes about that in Gona Guy World. That chibi Gona Guy World thing.
We reviewed it last year. Basically, Devilman takes on the last episode, Satan. Everyone's fighting, what's left of humanity starts fighting each other. They even kind of brought back some other demons too. From Amon, they had the chick that shot acid from her breast, and they had her like in some sort of plastic tube, like they're studying her. And then like the demons break her out, and then she winds up like acid, like shooting onto the demons or something. I was like, oh hey, I remember acid tits shooting girl. Like that's her power. That was it.
Yeah, they had Miki call for other devil men to go help. And then they all show up there at the house after everybody's already dead, and then they join up with the Devil Man and play against Satan, and then and at the end, like, he's laying down with Satan, and like his they're like laying next to each other, and then it turns out like half of his body is gone.
Yeah, because this is like the fight between those that because Amon basically kind of pulled a Satan on Satan, where he like betrayed Satan. And has his own army of demons to try to fight Satan's army of demons. All this as the world is ending and the moon is shattered in half or whatever. And, so then like, you know, Ryo's like kind of reminiscing on like the good times or whatever. And there's all these flashbacks. And there's also like a flashback of a constant one, which just has some semblance of like basically like everyone working together between Miki, Miko, and Akira. Where they handed the baton to each other, but when it gets to Ryo, he drops the baton. Like he doesn't even want to pick it up. He wants no involvement with that. So that's kind of, I think, an analogy there of how, like, you know, Ryo was never part of the human race at all. He was never going to work with people. He did his own thing, which is exactly what led to the Earth the way it was. Semblance there.
The other ones are kind of like, you know, the good angels, and he's Satan, so he, like, slaps down,
on humanity and looks down upon them, yeah.
Yeah, and becomes evil and just wants to destroy and everything, because he's selfish. And,
yeah.
They have that flashback playing when Miki is about to be killed, too. Like, she's running and... just got the baton, and she's like, I have to pass it to, you know, to Akira, and then she gets shot, and the van drives up, and it's like, oh, are they going to save her? And then the dead rapper falls out. And
yeah, with like 10 knives in his back. It's like, oh, this ain't good.
Yeah, and then gets killed, and then they show, like, her back get all sliced up, and it's brutal.
Yeah, but I mean, she gets her back sliced up, and then also she gets her head decapitated, and then Ryo has
They didn't show that part. But then they showed the head on the stick.
Yeah, but then also Ryo's like holding her head, like, you know, passionately, like, you know, I lost a loved one, Ryo, you son of a bitch. You're going down for this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he gives Miki like a burial plot, and that's when they start taking on Satan, and then we get to the point where, you know, Ryo is, or Satan at this point, is talking to Akira, and basically how, like, you know, Ryo doesn't know any kind of thing about sympathy or whatever, or empathy for others, because he's Satan. But then as soon as he realizes the only person that's ever been with him and has been close to him dies, and there's no life in him left because he's cut in freaking half. And then, like, Ryo finally understands what compassion is as God nukes the Earth. And that is Devilman Crybaby.
Yeah. The ending kind of reminded me of the end of Naruto Shippuden, when Naruto and Sasuke fight, and they're lying there, and they're both bleeding out because they've lost their arms. And then Sasuke kind of realizes, like, oh, what I've been doing, trying to destroy the world and take over and everything, is wrong. And then he becomes good and starts working with Naruto again, you know, in Boruto and stuff. So, but I obviously there's no redemption for Satan here. Like, it's too late for that.
It's way too late. Everything. Yeah, there's no compassion or redemption for Satan to begin with. You know, even before any of this happened. But
yeah,
you know, the fact that he, like, you know, I'm already orchestrating the end of the world. I made it happen. So there you go. I was just kind of looking through notes here, like, on just some of this.
People often say stuff like, Violence Jack is, Devil Man from, after he went crazy from Miki dying. But, like, obviously this version of Devil Man, at least, is not compatible with Violence Jack because there's no world left to,
Yeah, I mean, unless, like, you know, God just holy nuclear bombs the earth where it's just the wasteland that is Violence Jack. And then, like, from that somehow,
he creates some new people or something.
It's people living in the aftermath in Violence Jack. So there had to have been people there after the events of Devil Man, but it seems like all humanity is wiped out by the end scene of the last episode. So then there's no humanity to build the earth on, especially if God's carpet bombing the thing. Which is actually interesting because biblically speaking, like, you know, like, after the great flood, like, God made his promise with a rainbow, like, he wouldn't be able to destroy humanity again the same way. But then here he goes and does it again, because of the events of what Satan does. But going to Gaia, like, takes elements, I mean, like, a lot of these people, like, they take elements from the Bible and kind of intertwine it with their own plots and kind of change things. So it's like, I think Go Nagai understands the Bible well enough, or at least well enough to, like, add it to his own plot points and change things around. Like, Anime World Order recently did a review on Demon Lord Dante, but Go Nagai in that was spun it where, like, oh, maybe God's the bad guy the whole time. And that's sort of like an interesting twist there.
I've seen that, yeah.
See, I haven't seen Demon Lord Dante yet. I just hear how ridiculous it is, based on how AW reviewed it. But yeah,
they didn't like it or what?
They thought it was, they at least found it was very interesting. Their review is on their website. It's like maybe a couple months old at this point, so definitely check it out.
I'm trying to remember what his spin on it was, but
according to their review, it was the fact that, like, it was spun that, like, God was really the bad guy the whole time, and maybe Satan wasn't as bad as he thought, but. But in this one, like, you know, Satan is, you know, a dick, basically, and destroys the whole world. But then, like, he's very empathetic at the end that he lost his best friend. So it's kind of like, you know, like we're supposed to feel for Satan, but it's kind of like, I sure as hell don't. So.
Yeah. I mean, the Demon Lord Dante, I think he turns into this big monster but then he's fighting, like, you know, maybe they're angels from God or something like that. I don't really remember the details, but yeah, it was made before Devil Man. At least the manga was made before it. So it's kind of like his first attempt at dealing with these
bad
things.
Actually, I think that's true that he made it before Devil Man. So.
And then the anime came out in 2001.
Because the manga, the manga was very short for Demon Lord Dante because Devilman was the predecessor of what Demon Lord Dante was. But then they didn't wind up adapting Demon Lord Dante from manga to anime until like 30, 40 years later.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
Okay, 2002 is when the anime came out.
Yeah, and it was licensed here, but I don't think anybody bought it.
Yeah. I think I got it for cheap on Right Stuff 1 year.
That's no surprise. Oh, I was just thinking of some other stuff in this, like when Miko, like, basically gets her demon power, and basically she's like, there's that one scene where, like, you know, some dude holds her at gunpoint to basically bang her, like, on a bridge or something, and then she basically, like, he's like, oh man, I'm about to come, and then he's like, and she breaks and, like, explodes his head with his fist. And then she continues to keep riding him, even though he doesn't have a head anymore. They kind of really show, like, how messed up she is.
Okay, here's the part where it explains what happened, why God is the villain. I'm looking at the Demon Lord Dante Wikipedia page. It says, Medusa reveals Ryo that God is an energy-based monster who once destroyed the high-tech Sodom where they lived as lovers, God wanted Earth inhabitants' bodies, but as Dante denied to comply, if God attacked the city, Dante, Medusa, and some others turned into demons by observing God's power. When Dante pilots a powerful jet fighter in an attempt to buy time for his friends to escape, he is grabbed by a pteranodon. Careening into a nearby Tyrannosaurus Rex, Dante was left open to be consumed by God's fires, causing him to be fused with his jet and the prehistoric reptiles to create his current form. Later, in the confrontation with God in the Himalayas, Dante was sealed in ice. God also attacked Gamora and its survivors, the last humans in existence who become the Satanists. After this, God divided himself into pieces and took residence in apes that evolved into human beings. Defeated by God and sealed in the Himalayas, Dante transferred his human body and soul to Judas Iscariot and Ryo Atsugi, respectively, to be reborn 2,000 years later. The story ends as Dante reassembles his demon army and is prepared to destroy mankind. Okay,
thus,
so that's what happened.
Thus says the Lord. It's all in the Bible. You can find it in Go Nagaiotomy, chapter 6, verse 66.
Yeah, did you forget the part of the Bible where they fused with a T-Rex?
Yeah, jet planes were totally biblical. They had them back then. The Roman Empire, they were so advanced in science that they had the materials to make jet planes and carpet bomb the Assyrians and anybody else that, like, would defy them and the, you know, Germanic barbarians or whatever. It's all in history that they don't want to tell you about. God,
we shall bomb the shit out of them.
that was a heck of an intro. Anyways, you got anything else to say on Devilman Crybaby? Because I think I am out.
No, I think I'm going to read a couple of closing remarks from Love That Goku.
All right, we're on the Love That Goku closing remarks time, because I got some stuff on we can talk about for closing remarks. Oh boy.
Yeah, he got fired from the anime store. He says, I have been terminated from my job at the anime store. In account of, I threw all of the anime in the dumpster except DBZ. The manager told me, you must pay for all the product you destroyed. I said, you know where to find me. I live at the halfway house. That's the last we heard from him.
I wonder if he got a stipends package from his out of his $120,000 payment that he demanded for working at the anime store. Or severance package is what I meant. Yeah.
Somehow I doubt that.
Yeah. The retail isn't that good to employees unless you're the freaking CEO of, like, a company or whatever.
Well, he did demand that he was going to be given the CEO position, but I don't think he got it.
I demand to be CEO of your crappy anime store that's run by one person.
So I can destroy it.
Makes maybe $500 a week, if that. So, we didn't talk about this in our closing remarks for Fooly Cooly, but do we want to divulge or dive into heavily into Toon Zone, how it is no more and had his rebirth into anime superhero?
Yeah, that's the new name for Toon Zone. You went on there to complain about it and you,
Well, I acted like an utter, so here's the story. Here's what happened. So, I think it was either you or Josh, probably Josh, that mentioned that Toon Zone changed their name. And I was like, what the fuck? So then I get on the Discord channel for, I guess, the official Toon Zone Discord channel, which is now, what, Anime Superhero Discord?
All right.
And so there
that
was...
That thing is terrible. Oh. That Discord channel.
So I basically go on there, and my first words, like, who was the retard that thought this was a good idea? Who got that drunk and thought this name change was fantastic? And, of course, it's Harley, because it's her decision. She does everything. There is no wrong coming from her whatsoever. And all our conversations, I put it up on Twitter for, like, GW Otaku and Sketch, I think, to look at, because I know I got some replies from that. Let me take a look here.
They replied to us?
I put it up on Twitter and they found out, because I think they were talking about it.
Hmm.
Let me just pull up my...
Did you posted, like, what Harley was saying to you on the channel?
I posted up on Twitter, yeah, because I wanted the world to see exactly the kind of BS that's coming out of her mouth.
As usual, she's like, oh, it's non-negotiable. The name change is final. Like, whenever she changes the website design or whatever, and everybody's like, this is terrible. Stop doing this.
Yeah.
And then she, like, bleeds users. Like, nobody wants to go on there anymore. Like, that's happened several times, and she's always like, this is not going to change. I made the choice, and I'm good at what I do. And if you don't like it, well, that's a disgrace to my dead grandma.
Well, the thing was, I think I made the dead grandma. I made a dead grandma joke, and I think that was the final straw on that.
You broke the camel's back. You got banned.
Yeah, I didn't even get any notice that I was getting banned. She just like took me off of there. I was like,
she said something like, "I've known you for a long time, and I don't want to do this, but if you keep..."
I like the fact that she's like, "I've known you a long time." Well, I'm like, "Well, you dumb bitch, you would have known that I would have. You got banned last year. If you knew me for a long time, you would know that crap, idiot." <Yeah.
laughs> That channel is so autistic. Like, yeah. there's this guy that he posted this video of him playing with socks on his hands. I don't know if you saw the video. But he's got like this goofy music playing, and he's just like moving his hands around with the socks. And they got replies in there. People were like, this is the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. All right. So I found the thread. No, it was Heart of Sword, because he's a former member or something. I remember
him. That's Duelist Goku.
Duelist Goku, yeah. So Duelist Goku.
AKA Joe Vita.
Oh, I love how this comes full circle now, because Joe Vita is the one that got me out of Toon Zone, and then I tell him the end of my time with Toon Zone, the official end of Toon Zone. How about that? How this all comes full circle years later.
That was his username on Heart of Sword 75 or something like that.
Yeah.
Heart of Sword's the Kenshin song.
Yeah, but now all the tweets are up here. It basically, her response is like, she's like, I understand the name change isn't a good idea, but this is what we're sticking to. And like one of my responses was like, so here's what I'm understanding what you're saying. I think we goofed on the name change, and I'm not very confident in sticking behind it, but please respect the decision regardless. That sounds about right to you? That's exactly what I told her. And she's always like, she's condescending herself and like, no, I'm totally 100% supportive, even though I know people aren't going to like it, even though I know we're going to have some backlash, but I totally 100% stand by my decision. It's like, really?
I didn't see a single comment saying this is a good name change. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was just like,
No, she's got her white knight. She's got like two or three white knights on that stupid, you know, dumbass channel of hers that are going to stick to her no matter what.
That's right. There was like Pinkie Pie or something like that.
Well, isn't the LolCal that, the guy, the TV Tropes guy, like, wasn't he defending the name change too?
Maybe the Nighthammer. Yeah, we have to talk about him.
Oh boy,
we found his
Kiwi.
His YouTube channel.
Well, he's also got a Kiwi thread that goes back like before we even really considered him being a locale.
Yeah, they have like videos from him from years ago, and I watched some of them, and I think the ones that I watched were not on YouTube. They were like taken down from YouTube because they were so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And somebody put them up on Vimeo or Blip or Daily Motion or something. And it was he was in some hotel room, and he's like, this is the worst hotel room ever. They strain temperature water. The closet's not big enough. The bathroom's not big enough.
Yes.
He's totally free.
He's just like, he goes to the hotel and he's like, oh, the closet is not big enough. Why would I do that? And then he's just like, well, the bed, it looks comfortable enough. I can put all my anime stuff on there, so that's not too bad. But this bathroom, this faucet, it's a one knob thing. How do you use this?
I can't play my PlayStation into the television. What the hell am I supposed to do with it? I need to go to Adult Swim tonight.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's... Oh, God.
There's other ones, too, where he talks about women in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, man.
And he's like, these women deserve to be raped brutally! Because they blocked him on MySpace. And he's like, they call this the yay area! I don't think it's the yay area!
Oh,
yeah, this guy, apparently he's like infamous in the, Advance Wars community, and, because he posts these long, ridiculous rants complaining about game balance whenever he's bad at some game. He's like, oh, the game isn't balanced right because I'm not good at it. He's just this sore loser idiot that's always, and he's, he's obsessed with TV tropes. So he sticks all these tropes that no one knows what they are into his posts. So they're like unreadable.
Yeah. I mean, he was doing that. I mean, he's been doing that crap for years, but it was like he did it on, and he was the White Knight for Light Lucario. And we're just like, dude, what the hell are you talking about? Like, I'm going to like TV tropes of like an Advance Wars. Like, it's you can't understand anything it says. Like, why are you not banned? Why can't you be banned?
Yeah, he'll go on like a 10-page rant about like his White Knight fanfic about Light Lucario and his Let's Play of Advance Wars and Phoenix Wright and stuff. And it'll be like complete nonsense that has nothing to do with the show he's reviewing.
I found some good ones. So I think one of the last comments I made on that Discord chat was, Harley, have you checked Twitter to see social media reactions about this change? Have you taken into account other people's opinions online about this? I'm just curious. Her response, yes. And if you run a website long enough, you'll find every decision you make, no matter what it is, pisses someone off. And if you change direction later, some people will be pissed about that too. You always listen. Every time. And you always weigh it against your own data and information that you have. Change should never be made lightly. Do you hear the hypocrisy and the condescendingness coming out of this one quote? She basically is like, when you make a decision, you know, it's gonna tick people off, but you should always listen to them at the same time and not do it on your own decision, even though this is exactly what she mother effing did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anime superhero / X Toon Zone, I hope it burns hotter in hell, Devilman style, than anything else in this entire world. I don't know how she's able to keep it. I don't know how she's able to keep a website and make funding off of this. Like, she can't keep this up anymore, and then she's gonna lose numbers because of this name change. And yeah, it's literally, and people were like, this is like taking two generic names or words related to fandom and mashing them together and calling it a day. Like, did she really put that much thought into this name change? And Toon Zone is a, you know, an actual, like, you know, tried and true, you know, name that people on the internet have known for over 20 years. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't change it.
I hope I played a role in destroying the brand name of Toon Zone by making Toon Zone Watch 10 years ago. Because I to this day, when Toon Zone will come up on 4chan or something, they'll be like, oh yeah, that's that forum that's so bad that somebody had to make another forum making fun of it.
Your legacy continues to this day. Gosh, I mean, that was like the start. I think that might have been like the beginning seeds of growth of like the suck that was going to become what it is today. So, yeah, it's kind of like I'm glad I'm totally out of Toon Zone. And like, you just take copy and paste stuff from like the Discord chat, and I'm like, I don't need to be in there because I'll just get banned every day. I couldn't put up with those people.
There's this one guy that he's called Random Me, and his posts are always about, he's obsessed with mer people, and he's always talking about, like, hey, anybody got any good cartoons about mermen? And he's like, why are you so into this? He's like, I'm going to make children's books about mer people. And it's either that, or he'll be going on about, like, some foreign Cartoon Network schedule in some country he doesn't even live in. Like, they're always talking about, like, the Cartoon Network schedule of Pakistan and shit. Like, none of them live in Pakistan, so who cares?
No, we don't live in Pakistan. Unless they're airing some anime in there that I might be interested in. Other than that, I just
don't
care.
Like, look at all the showings of Doraemon in Pakistan. Man, I wish I lived in Pakistan. And it's like, no, you don't. You'd be living under the fucking Taliban. Like, it's
not
worth it to
you'd
just
be living
Doraemon.
Under a rock with your little, like, you know, TV watching cartoons as, like, a suicide bombers are taking out half the city around you.
Yeah.
As long as I have my Cartoon Network in Pakistan, I'm perfectly fine. And goat meat. What a dream. Yeah, that was just something, like, that was something I wanted to get off my chest was on this. I mean, this happened at the end of September.
We forgot to mention it during the last recording.
Yeah, we did fail to mention the last recording. I guess for me, like, I just, it just got out of my mind, and then I was, about a week later, I was like, crap, we need to talk about this. I need a rant.
Yeah.
But those tweets and those images will be up on our show notes for people to read exactly what her conversation is between me and her. And I regret nothing I said to her, and I stand by it, and I refuse to bow down to her whim. I don't have no reason to bow down to her whim anyways.
So. And you'll be able to see the anime van on there, too, on show notes.
Do what?
They'll be able to see the anime van on there, too, the with all the anime pictures on the windows.
Oh, yes, yes, anime van. Make anime great again.
Yes. We could get into that now, I guess, so if we haven't got anything more to say about Toon Zone. Huh?
Yeah, do you want to get into the rape van bomber talk?
Yeah. So this happened like a couple of days ago that all these Democrats were getting these packages, and the packages have like this obvious shit sticking out the side of it, where like nobody in their right mind would open this thing, and it's like these incompetently rigged bombs that none of them went off. They had like an alarm clock on the side of it, but it's like the clock was not hooked up properly, or you know, you don't even need the clock or something. Like the guy had probably just like seen some stuff on television and he figured like, well, I just get like a pipe and like a alarm clock and I just like tape them together, right, and then it'll blow up. Like this is like the dumbest guy ever.
I you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because they had like these news outlets were so in detail. Like they brought all this stuff to forensics at the CIA and the FBI to study how these bombs were made. They're like, the way this bomb is made is nothing we've ever seen before. It's like, well, probably because it's a piece of shit. Like it's not made to blow up.
Yeah.
It looks the way it does because it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, they're so involved in these, like, man, it's a good thing we got it in time. Who knows what would have happened? Nothing! Nothing would have happened!
They got a dozen of these things, and none of them worked. Like, you know, but obviously they're going to try to use it as a midterm issue. I say, look at Trump's crazy rhetoric. He's been riling these people up, and as we were recording, there was some massacre at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, apparently, as well.
Oh.
By someone from Gab, some anti-Semite, which is actually much more serious than this bomb thing.
Yeah, because people are actually dying from it.
Right. But yeah, this bomb thing, a lot of people were thinking, like, oh, well, is this some sort of false flag incident by the Democrats to try to delegitimize Trump or something? But then the van comes along, and it seems like the guy really is a Trump fan, and that the false flag thing is probably false. You know?
Yeah.
But they found like his Twitter account, and this guy is he's pretending to be a Native American, even though the tribe says he's not, which is what Elizabeth Warren does.
Yeah.
So he's like, we, the undefeated Seminole Nation, are going to make America great again, and. He's got all these memes of talking about John Tyler and the Native American wars and everything, and then the Seminoles are like, this guy has nothing to do with us, and he's got like Hard Rock Cafe or whatever, Hard Rock Casino mentioned in all his usernames and tweets and everything, and then this place is like, he has nothing to do with us. Like, it's just bizarre. I don't know why he got fixated on this Indian casino thing, but he's apparently some like male stripper that had used steroids and brain damaged, and
brain damaged him in a way. Yeah,
sent out bomb threats in 2002 against local newspapers saying they'd be worse than 9/11, but of course they weren't, because they didn't happen, because he doesn't know how to make a bomb. But yeah, and then he has like an arrest record like a mile long. Like every year he's getting arrested for something. But I mean, if people just have to see his van, it is insane. That he's got like this ISIS hunting permit that he's got on the back of it.
Yeah, totally legit ISIS hunting permit.
Mm-hmm. And then there's like, see if you, being from the Carolinas, can make sense of this rant on the back about soccer in the Carolinas. Put it. I'm gonna try to read it to you. And
okay.
See what you have to say.
Because I'm the expert, because I, you know, been living in the Carolinas for 20 plus years.
top youth soccer recruits. You will never see a more beautiful PLSC than Heaven Blue, North Carolina Mountains, North and South Carolina College's unstoppable dynasty. The House of Soccer National Championship, 38 of 71 national championships played since 1959. North Carolina colleges have won. UNC Chapel Hill, Brevard University, North Carolina, UNC Greenwood, Duke University, Wake Forest University, Clemson University, superior excellence in academics and athletics, expanding the mind and your future. Fuel scholarships available to qualified youth soccer recruits, student athletes, top youth soccer recruits. And then he's got a phone number. And then he's got soccer rankings. Wake Forest, Clemson, UNC Tar Heels, Duke. Thank you, police military. Clemson, UNC Tar Heels, UNC Charlotte, Wake Forest, Duke. And then he has the ISIS hunting permit, a Donald Trump sticker. World News votes North Carolina University College's beautiful campus in America, rated best colleges in the South. Carolina Soccer, Clemson Tigers, UNC Tar Heels, UNC Charlotte, I Bleed, Carolina Blue. Does this sound like your average person from the Carolinas?
I can't answer that. I mean, he's talking about the mountains. Well, first of all, there's a UNC Greenville, not Greenwood. Now, I have a college in my town of Greenwood, but it is nothing related to UNC. I mean, the major schools in the mountains would be like Appalachian State. I think there's Emory up there, maybe? I don't think so. Appalachian State's the only like big Western Carolina college of on the mountainside. I mean, I wasn't even really aware, nor did I care, that UNC Tar Heels have a good soccer team. I just know their football team is garbage, and I hope it stays that way. I guess Clemson has a good... I don't really keep up with soccer much. It's just mostly football, then basketball, and probably baseball when those seasons come around. I guess UNC still has a good soccer team or something. I don't know, but... Yeah, I can't make sense of anything this guy says.
Yeah, and then on the side, he's got, like, pictures of Trump on top of a tank and, like, a UFO abducting somebody, Obama wearing a diaper, and, like, a bunch of other crazy stuff. Top youth soccer recruits for Trump. He has that on there, as if there's something relating Trump to this soccer team, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. And I was looking up the something that happened a year ago, the Las Vegas shooting. Like, it's been 1 year, and I feel like we haven't gotten the whole story on that, and we probably never will.
Yeah, that's what I've seen a lot of people saying. Like, so they figured all this out in like 1 day, and like we don't know why this guy did the Vegas thing still after a year. Like, what's that about?
I just find it interesting that the media was so focused on that high school shooting in Florida. And when it came to this, it was like, they covered it for a week and then that was the end of it.
Oh, this guy's a Parkland truther. He had a tweet on his Twitter account saying like that David Hogg didn't actually go to Parkland and that he was paid by George Soros to pretend to be a student and then he was a crisis actor and all this kind of Alex Jones tier stuff. That's what I guess even crazier than what Alex Jones said, because I don't think even Alex Jones claimed that Hogg didn't go to that school.
I figured if it was going to be confirmed if he did or didn't, like the students and the teachers would be the ones that would speak up about it, but we haven't heard anything from them on it.
So. Right. I mean, I think he did go there, but, you know, like people will just come up with something online and gullible, brain damaged people like this will just go with it or whatever.
You still there?
Oh, yeah.
Still there. Okay. Oh, yeah. You just posted. All right. I see the image on. You were just kind of reading it to me. I didn't know you actually posted it up.
Yeah, I just put it on there, and then the tweet that had a commentary on it said, "Top youth soccer recruits for Trump is the manifesto of this bomb suspect. soccer is as anti-American as it gets, and the irony is completely lost on this guy.
No, I can't make sense of that wall of text on the side of his van.
They already found the Gab account of the synagogue massacre guy in Pittsburgh, and it's like filled with anti-Semitic alt-right memes. So I suspect that this is the last straw for Gab, and that they're going to go down.
Yeah, RIP. RIP Gab.
Like twice already, they've been threatened by I think Microsoft and the hosting companies saying like you have to take down these tweets or Gab messages, whatever you call it, Gab tweet, because it's just filled with like insane anti-Semites on there. So
I mean, there's the same people on Twitter too, but Twitter is still up. But that's because they're favored. They have, I mean, they have privilege to be on the internet.
Right. I mean, Twitter. Yeah, there's probably more just in terms of raw numbers Nazis on Twitter than there are on Gab, but. Because Gab is like a concentration camp for Nazis who've been like kicked off of the rest of the internet.
They make their own online concentration camp.
Yeah. And then they spend the whole time like fighting on there about like, should we support Trump or not? And this guy was like opposed to Trump, this synagogue shooter saying, oh, Trump is controlled by the Jews, so he's just like the Jews put this guy out pretending to be a good white leader, but he's actually secretly in league with the Jews, and so they can't really claim this one is because of Trump, because I think a lot of people don't get that the alt-right is generally not supportive of Trump, because Trump has like got, you know, Jewish daughter and lots of Jewish advisors, and he's been very pro-Israel. He moved the embassy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people on the right who actually hate Trump, but the media wants to portray it as, well, look, all these alt-right people are just crazy Trump supporters. And, oh, and they are crazy, but they're not all Trump supporters, obviously. Like, so it's going to be hard for them to pin this on Trump, but they probably will try to find a way. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if CNN is blaming him right now.
Oh, yeah. Wolf Blitzer, you know, he's a trusted source of positivity and correct facts. Not.
Yeah. Or Don Lemon or somebody will be on there doing that and saying.
I just, speaking of anchors, like it's amazing how like NBC now got rid of Megyn Kelly because she made a blackface comment or was supporting it. But from what the media has quoted her or taken, or I guess taken out of context of what she said, it was basically her stating, we didn't find this offensive years ago, like when we did Halloween. That was it. And, but apparently that's racist to say that. But then they have Jimmy freaking Kimmel that for the Man Show actually was blackface for one of the skits for the Man Show, which is actually a pretty great skit. But I wonder if he's going to lose his job because now maybe that's, I don't know.
He probably will issue some apology, and because he has the right politics, he'll be allowed to continue on.
And because of his white male privilege, he'll keep his show.
Megyn Kelly, They paid a whole lot of money to poach her from Fox, thinking, well, she was you know, asking these tough questions of Trump at the debate, so she must be on our team, right?
Oh, what tough questions? She still got in office,
right? She asked like that one question about
I don't remember what she said.
What about these comments you made about women being pigs? And Trump said only Rosie O'Donnell or something like that. And that was like at the first debate, and then Trump wouldn't even go to the next Fox News debate because Megan was going to be there. So then Megan, instead, she just had to go after Cruz and Rubio, and ended up damaging them instead when she wanted to hurt Trump with Mitch Gotcha stuff. But he went off and did some like fundraiser for veterans instead during that one in Iowa.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like the last time she did anything significant, like. I think when she was on NBC, she like interviewed some Me Too people or something. I can't really name anything else that she's done since going there. You know, like she's not really, her ratings have been very poor, and I don't think she's as much of a Democrat as the Democrats wanted her to be. I think she was kind of just another Trump Republican. So they're trying to get rid of her, and they found an excuse because she made this comment saying like, well, what's wrong with people dressing up as Donna Summers? That we did that when I was a kid in the 70s or something like that. And then they had some black people lecture her on air about it.
Oh, that's what tearfully apologized. Yeah.
And then they fired her. Because it's like the humiliation and the confession ritual that has to happen to anyone who says anything politically incorrect. You have to get them to publicly apologize, to break them, to make them cry, and then you destroy them anyway, right?
Yeah.
So there was no point in her even doing any of that.
Yeah, there was no reason for her to apologize. It's not going to save her career, but...
And then she's trying to get on Fox, and then they said, well, we don't want you back.
I wouldn't have her back either.
Yeah, she's just done.
But the thing is, like, I don't even know if she was, like, agreeing that, like, oh, no, blackface is good. It was just kind of like her making a statement, like, well, we used to blackface as Donna Summer back in the day, and we thought nothing of it. But this was, like, you know, back in the day, you said the 70s or the 80s or something, and we didn't have this poisonous political correctness as we do now, where everybody's offended and has to act offended over every damn thing.
Yeah, so they had to have like the weatherman come on there and tell her like, "Oh, this is so offensive because in the South they once upon a time had these shows where black people would sing and dance, and they would sometimes have a white person with blackface on, and he would be shucking and jiving, and you know." So she had to say, "Oh, I was so ignorant about the history, and I apologize," and it did not save her.
Yeah. Well, anything
else? Looks like she was born in 1970. So yeah, she was talking about when she was a kid. So yeah, this would have been 70s and 80s.
I was going to say, do we have anything else for closing remarks?
Probably not. Oh, I know what we're going to do. Chris Chan. The dimensional merging.
Oh my gosh. Oh, we talk about something scary for Halloween. That 15-minute video about apparently the two dimensions are going to merge with each other and things are going to be different, and he's telling people not to be alarmed about it because that's part of the changes. And Chris is stating, let's see if I remember how this went. He's stating that...
Is that something like some people are going to die, including politicians?
Hold on. He's stating that he's the queen of the dimension and how he's the Virgin Mary to Jesus.
Yes.
And some other bullshit. I don't even... You're better at this than I am.
Yeah, he said, like, a bunch of people are going to die. Some people will live. And your favorite superheroes and ponies will all be there. And the Sanchus will be there. And then I'm going to get all the Quickville money and use it to pay off my debts. Because he's just getting sued for debt again. And and then some stuff about, like, the red hearts and the blue hearts and the CPU goddesses.
Well,
he's
comparing Megan into... He's throwing Megan into this.
Yeah.
And saying that she's a red heart from this dimension and then the dimension we're merging with. And he's like, oh, I don't know how that works. And I'm like, mother effer, this is your story. You made this. Can't you make sense of your own shit?
Yeah, what is this red heart thing supposed to mean?
Like, but this is all from Hyperdimension Neptunia, which has completely screwed up his mind to some degree. I don't know.
Yeah, some weeaboo game or something. I have not played it or seen the anime or whatever it is. But it's
I think I wanted to play it, but now I don't. I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah, I think it involves like computer game characters or something. But yeah, he thinks that Megan is like a character from this game, and that this game is real. And there was some guy called the Idea Guy, and they made him write this big comic. And it has like Hitler Sonichu.
But isn't it officially Sonichu 16?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and now like some of the characters from the Sonichu like joined ISIS, and some of them became Nazis and all
this stuff. You didn't read this, and neither did I,
no.
But this is based on people that have tried really hard to interpret what the heck Chris is saying.
Yeah, there was somebody who like did a summary of it.
Yeah.
I didn't read it. It's like 20... I think it's more than 20 pages. Usually they're like 20 pages. This one I think they said was 60 pages. And it was not even a comic book format. It was just like there's a character, like some crudely drawn hedgehog standing on the side, and then just a big wall of like illegible text. And it's like a visual novel or something. But yeah, he's totally lost it. I mean, he never really had it, but I mean, he's obviously like going way downhill here.
Yeah. We're never going to get that old Chris back. As he's gone.
He was talking about he's married to four hedgehogs.
Well, no, three hedgehogs and a Pokemon.
Right, Mewtwo.
Which ought to be the show. Which ought to be the title of a comedy show. Two girls, a guy, and a pizza. Or no, two guys, a girl, and a pizza joint. But it's like three hedgehogs, a Pokemon,
and a town lunatic from Charlottesville.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's married to he's basically in a if he's a woman, he's in a polygamy. It's not polygamy because that's the men's term, but there's a polygamy.
Polygyny,
I think, is the women's term where they can have multiple husbands. So if he's a woman, then maybe it's a lesbian relationship. I have no effing clue how this all makes any damn sense, but
I think some of them are male and some are female, although maybe there are female Mewtwos. I don't know, but I think Mewtwo is male.
Well, I mean, if you take the Pokemon, like one, you know? If you take the Pokemon, the movie, Mewtwo was voiced by a male person, so we can base it that Mewtwo is male in some aspect.
But it's like artificial, you know, like it's made in a test tube. Like I don't think it's going to be able to reproduce, you know.
So is Christian's love for his hedgehogs is all artificial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got this another thing he did lately was he got this doll in the mail from somebody, and he immediately started criticizing it on Twitter. He was like, you really should have stuffed the ears and the tail with more stuffing because this doll does not look right.
And then
the person who sent it to him was like, wow, this is really rude. I'm so offended by this. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then like 5 minutes later, he's like, you know, this doll is really shitty. And then he deletes that one and he's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't think that it would offend you to say this after she'd already apologized before for that bashing.
Oh,
it.
God.
Like, it's just so stupid.
Oh.
Oh, and that guy, Mr. Meadowcore, got doxxed on Kiwi Farms also. By some...
Wait, did Kiwi Farms actually dox? Like, did they take the claim for doxing Mr. Meadowcore?
Yeah, he was doxxed in a thread on there. By somebody named, like, Mr. Pee and Poop Pants or something like that.
Wow. I thought Meadowcore was on there. Like, they like Meadowcore.
I think that there's a lot of people on there that are, like... victims of him or something, you know, like that they got trolled and then they made an account on there to complain about that they got trolled or something.
Wow.
And they did this to get revenge. And so they found out like, oh, he was convicted of the drunk driving in 2003 or something like that, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I like Metacore stuff. It's entertaining for him to get commentary on, you know, these locales that he finds online. I was hoping he'd come across the TV Tropes guy from Toon Zone. Because I think halfway decent material, maybe. But, and maybe, I don't know if he's going to go after Timbox. Timbox is...
too obscure.
Yeah, I don't know. People on 4chan and 8chan are trying to make Timbox into bigger than what he is.
Yeah.
There's
another thread on here, Sonichu merch. Somebody's making like t-shirts that say Sonichu, and they're donating the money to Autism Speaks, which is this charity that pisses off autistic people. They like, I don't know, they try to find like money to like cure autism or something. And the autistic people are like, we're perfect the way we are, we don't need a cure.
Oh gosh.
I remember HG used to always come on the chat and rant about this, this company saying like, they're autistophobic or something. And then
I don't want to be a better person. I want to be autistic and stupid.
Christian's response,
I mean, most autistic people are not really that stupid. They just think things differently than others.
Yeah. He says, no, you're a thief. Autism Speaks does not need money destined for me. These are my original creations and my family. Do not make money off them without sending me some.
Oh, gosh.
All caps. Rants from Chris Chan.
Oh.
Right. And here's one. He says, the worlds are not merging quickly enough. I need my savings in Quickville. My mother and I need to eat. And yes, I enjoy playing new games. The Neptunia series expands my mind greatly. don't judge. It's like a Christian reads the Bible or a Muslim the Quran. Sheesh.
Oh my gosh. Oh. That's what that tweet, I didn't even bother trying to make sense of that tweet, but you perfectly summed it up for me.
And no, I am not high all the time. I do not pot while driving. I am not the irresponsible slob you think I am. I want to scream, leave those friends alone. There's some rumor, I guess, that Chris is using drugs and driving, but he's denying it.
Yeah. Oh, we about done?
Yeah, I'm looking through here. I don't think there's any other,
I mean, that's some good,
major astonishing
that's
news.
Some good scary highlights for Halloween is just Chris Chan tweets. I don't know if I'll sleep well tonight knowing that those exist on the internet.
Yeah. Probably right. Better to, not listen to this podcast right before you go to sleep, or you have some nightmare that Satan and Chris Chan are about to destroy the world.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Satan's ideal world is C-197 or whatever the heck, the Rick and Morty dimension that Chris is saying we're going to be involved with. It's like, nope, but that's going to lead to our destruction. So it's kind of like part of me wants this merge to happen, because then I can just hijack a nuclear bomb and then blow up his fantasy world, and he'll be sad forever. I can't allow it to happen. Well, I mean, I can just pray hard enough to call down the power of God's nuclear bomb onto his fantasy world. So we'll see how this goes.
Chris is going to be miraculously struck by lightning tomorrow.
Multiple times.
This will all be averted.
He did say that weird things were going to happen instead of keep watch, so maybe getting struck by lightning like 20 times in a day is one of those weird things.
Yeah. But his whole life is a series of weird things.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. I need to shut this down. I need to get some lunch, so... Happy Halloween, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time, hopefully, if the world dimensions don't happen, because we know Chris Chan is full of crap. All right, so I'm shutting this down. Later.
Later.